No!
No! No!
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Ryan.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's episode 68, No Sir, I Don't Like It, brought to you by Brondell Bidets.
Wow, right into it.
What? I was just...
I was expecting, hello, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Isn't that how you start every episode with, hello, everybody? You are listening to... And with me, as always, is a very funny... And today we have a guest. Right? Isn't that what you usually do? Well, we don't have a guest today, so...
It's just us, baby. It's just us.
We got canceled for an audition.
Which you guys know we love.
Yeah. I hate this place. I hate where an audition... Like, I just... Ugh. Whatever.
Whatever. Just forget it.
My friend,
what a way to start. We were just having such a fun time. We turn on the mic and you're like, oh, fuck it. Just who even cares anymore? We're not even in your room.
I was going to go into a funny story that happened to a friend. This is not my story, but my friend was just having he had the worst audition I've ever heard of, which was he had to learn like 3 pages of dialogue, and he went in for a commercial. And he had to learn, or some, it must have been more because there's not 3 pages of dialogue in a commercial. But it was like, he said he was in the room and it was a part that, it was a British part and he was a British guy. And there was a bunch of Americans there practicing their British accent. And he was like, he could tell they were young, hungry actors who like came in from North Hollywood and shit. Like they all live in the valley to come in.
They all commuted for a chance.
In the worst traffic there is. And he said that So they all had to learn this thing and practicing their accent. Mm-hmm. And then they get into the audition and all they wanted was them to say their name on camera. Just say your name on camera? Okay, that's good. Thank you. So these people learned 3 pages of dialogue, drove in from far away, and was working all freaking out all about their accent. They're trying so hard. And these people just fucking waste their... They probably canceled all their podcasts to go do it.
And just to go say their name on... When they could have just texted that video in.
Some guy probably canceled lunch with the only woman he'd be happy with for his entire life. You know what I mean? Sorry, I have this big audition. And
it could change everything for me. Yeah.
And it did it. Turns out you're going to be alone now. That's the big change you got. How fucking sad is that? Like, I mean... I know I constructed half that sadness in my head, but still, it's miserable. It's miserable. So I get it, future guests.
It takes a lot of sadness for you to be in a palm tree, coastal, and mountain place, and it still be fucking sad.
Oh, like, yeah.
People pay thousands of dollars to vacation with the same exact terrain that we have, but it's drowning in so much, like,
dude, George Carlin,
vanity and, like, resentment. Like, it takes all of that pretty shit away.
George Carlin said it best. He said that L.A. is just like a soft 20-year-old girl saying, fuck me. And New York is just a 40-year-old guy going, fuck you.
God, that guy's good. I think he's going to be something someday.
Yeah, he could end up being something. I was listening to him read one of his books. I forget which one.
Braindroppings?
No, it was the other one. It was another
Napalm
one.
Napalm and Silly Putty?
Yeah, it was that one. And he was getting down the differences between New York and L.A. and why he hates L.A. Mm-hmm. Loves New York, and it was so dead on. And it's still so accurate,
and it's because, like, this place hasn't changed.
yeah. And New York's changed a little. New York's a lot softer than it used to be,
for sure.
It's kind of a bummer. You'd think that place was the one place they couldn't change.
I thought it was impenetrable, it was ironclad. Like, you'll never shake people from there.
Nope. Now all of New York is Silver Lake, at least Brooklyn.
Yeah, all of Brooklyn is. There's still plenty of tough motherfuckers living in New York City.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know where those people... It's like when you see people in San Francisco who are poor, it's like, where do you go home to at night? What are you doing? Like, how do you afford this place? Like, all those cities are filled with, like, poor people walking around. You can tell. Visually poor people. You can see. They're so poor. You can
not
look
questionably
at them.
Poor, like, yeah. Definitely poor. Without shadow of a doubt, you have no money.
And there are people, and you think about it, and like people have to clean all those buildings. So you're in San Francisco, you're in the most expensive city in the country, if not the world, maybe right behind Tokyo or Paris. But are you commuting in to San Francisco for a minimum wage job to vacuum it, or do you live in the city? What is your life? I don't understand it. I don't understand how poor people exist there. Like, I know how I did, but most people don't put up with the shit I put up with.
But I mean, I think they do the same shit that they do in New York City, which is they live in somebody's dining room, you know, and like, and they.
Who's going to live in a dining room to vacuum a building? Like, when you live in a dining room, it's because you have a dream. That's why you live in that city.
You don't. Not necessarily. There's plenty of, like, I live.
Who's going to rent out?
I stayed with a Jamaican family that was living, the whole family was living in one room of a two-bedroom apartment, and then somebody lived in the living room, and somebody lived.
But that's
in,
a like, whole a family. I get that, but like, if you're just a guy living in somebody, you're the guy who's renting out a closet in a house, and it's not your family. The only reason you would be doing that, I would imagine, is because you have some dream that brought you there to that city. Like, I can't imagine just being a guy who's just a janitor, just living in a closet in Brooklyn, and that's where it stops. Like, I can't.
That happens, dude.
That's so fucking depressing.
Yeah. Have you not looked
that's
around?
That's so sad. It makes me want to kill myself on their behalf. That's
this
how
one's
sad.
For you, baby.
Yeah. Listen, you can have my room. It's open now.
You can upgrade to a dentist office.
Right. God, that's depressing.
An exam room in a dentist office.
Fuck, dude. Yeah, I don't get what all those people are doing. I mean, they must all be living in an apartment.
You know, well, you do with what you can. Like, that's the other thing, too, is maybe they don't have enough money to uproot and leave. Like, you know, maybe they want to be around their family, but their family all lives in a place that they can afford, but that person does not, can't afford it. So it's like, you know, there's tons of reasons on how.
But
many
to be able to afford San Francisco, you have to be straight successful.
Yeah.
Now, like, you can't just be a person. You can't be a mailman and exist in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Like, all the people delivering mail probably commute into that city to deliver mail. Blows my mind.
But then if you're talking about. Then if you can live, that's what they're making. They're trying to make a city that you can't have poor people in. The poor people
but
go
they,
into
but
work.
It takes poor people to make a city work.
Yeah.
You can't have a city without poor people.
Or young people.
Yeah. Well, San Francisco also is having no babies. They have like the lowest birth rate of any city. Because even the poor Latinos, who are the most fertile people on earth, are like, maybe we should get condoms. I think I'm going to start using condoms. Like, if the Latin birth rate is low, you know that
stupid.
I'm right, is what I am. Those are you can't sneeze on a Mexican lady without getting her pregnant.
What are you in the Catskills right now?
One time I sneezed at a Puerto Rican lady and she had twins.
They're wearing full body condoms. You make eye contact with a Puerto Rican lady and she just is 8 months pregnant immediately. No, but for real, like, I mean, if the birth rate is that low and that city's like maybe 30-40% Latino and the birth rate is that low, like, that's crazy.
But that's not in San Francisco proper. That's in like the Bay Area.
No. I'm talking about San Francisco.
Is mostly Hispanic as well? It's 40% Hispanic?
I don't know if it's 40%, but it's got to be. I mean, there's several neighborhoods that are majority Latin. Well, it was until, I don't know what's going on now.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was there. And
it was like, what, 3-4 years, 5 years ago?
I moved out of there in 2015, so 3 years ago.
That's probably still accurate.
Yeah, I don't know how they're doing it, man. I mean, they all must have like rent control scams where they're hanging on by the skin of the teeth.
Or they could just be successful Latin people, you fucking asshole.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Mission and Visitation Valley, where they're explicitly low income neighborhoods with a crazy high rent.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah. I'm not just saying because you're Mexican in San Francisco, you're poor. I'm talking about poor Mexicans in San Francisco. I mean, although most of the mission, I think, originally was Salvadorians. That was like the original.
A lot of it's just tradition and comfort. Like if you lived in a neighborhood your whole life, a lot of times people don't want to go to
It's not about wanting to go. It's that they evict people. They burn down tenement buildings so that you have to move. Like there's so many landlord fires in that city. They make it impossible. And then all of a sudden you have a city full of rich people and it's like, well, who's taking the trash? I don't understand how you get people to commute in to fucking run the liquor store. Yeah. Like, I don't see the end game. It's
But then that's probably why the growth of fucking Postmates and like Bev Mode, like people delivering you booze and that other shit.
Like I'm a musician who does Postmates. Yeah.
It's just become, instead of it being just poor people, it's now creatives. Creatives have become the
new poor
people.
Yeah, those are white poor jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't want to be I won't deliver for Pizza Hut, but I'll deliver for Postmates.
For sure.
Because I have higher expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is only temporary where like if I deliver pizzas for I'd just be a pizza guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That same bullshit. It's a dumb mentality, but that's what I think cities like that, because that's where all that shit starts. All that fucking app-based bullshit starts there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because then it's like now rich people don't have to deal with poor people. They can just have everything delivered to them, especially with Amazon now, too. Like, you don't have to care. You don't have to see people.
I can't wait till an earthquake levels that city and then everybody gets it back. And I'm not talking about me. I don't feel like I have a stake in the Bay Area. I moved there when I was 22 and I left when I was 29 or whatever, 30. So, like, I was only there for 8 years. But still, like, I mean, just the people who got evicted out of that city, I can't wait till an earthquake just destroys that entire city and then all the people who call it home can get it back. It'll be shambles, but...
But we do hope Brondell doesn't get, because they're based out of San Francisco.
Are they? Oh, yeah, they sent us an email saying they wanted... They were like gonna let a Bay Area comic help us work on reads, and then she goes, "But I remember you having strong feelings about comedians from San Francisco."
It's good to know our sponsor.
And boy, do I, Brondell. Really, I mean, anywhere where you weren't accepted, you're gonna hate. But
we should promote them, by the way. We should do our ad for them.
Let's just ease into things. No, I'll tell you this though. I Brondell. The bidet they gave us, which is the Swash 1400, I believe.
Which is the best thing my ass has ever seen. And it's seen a human mouth.
Listen. I tried so hard to just plow through
that. I know.
Ugh.
It's amazing.
Dude, I was filming this thing last weekend and we were all... There was like some production meeting and I walked in and I was holding my mouth and I go, "Sorry, I chipped my tooth on some ass last night." And nobody laughed. It bombed so bad. Oh, God. I was just like, they were like, "Who let this fucking hobo into this filming?" But
Brondell, you can quote me on that, by the way. Tweet it.
Yeah, better than a mouth. Yeah. But here's the thing. The Swash 1400 has changed my life, some good and some bad. And I'll tell you why. Because... It is the greatest thing that I've ever owned. I cannot, listen, it's $649. You can get 20% off if you type in promo code no sir, all one word, no sir, 20% off that. So whatever 650 minus 20% is, I can't recommend it enough. Sublet your room for a month and go stay at your boyfriend or girlfriend's house or whatever, sublet the room and use that money to get a bidet because my asshole is so clean. Now, what are the downsides, you may ask? The downsides are whenever I have to shit away from home, I never feel clean again.
You were talking about when you were on the road, you were like showering.
I showered like four times a day because I shit like 4 to 8 times a day.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wow. Big ones too. So the deal is though, I had to shower after, and luckily the Madison Concourse, beautiful hotel, thank you, has one of those shower heads that you can just take off and point right at your ass. So I put it on full blast, took it off the head, and just fucking blasted myself like it was a civil rights protest. But
you Rodney King, your asshole.
But that's one of the downsides is that you'll never feel as clean as you do then. But then again, you want to know what that feels like. You want to know what true asshole cleanliness feels like. And I know this sounds like a crazy ass kissing ad, but I'm telling you, I'm 100% sincere. If we were sponsored by something else and I wasn't into it, I wouldn't fucking. But the problem is, though, also now I'm just like burritos all day because.
Why?
I was trying to eat more salads when. Okay, so my asshole has been a problem in my life.
Your whole life.
My whole life. It's been a mess.
You are that Louis bit that constant.
Every shit I've taken is emergency. Yeah. 100%. And so, like, I've never felt clean. And so I was trying to eat more roughage and more salads and like less junk food to like clean,
yeah, so you don't have to use the whole roll every time. Yeah,
throw some what do they call that? Like when they put the fuck, what does that call it? Like a leavener or whatever. But
just little broccoli. But now that I have the bidet, stomach.
Yeah. Now that I have the bidet, I'm like, oh, fucking pizzas and burritos all day. I'll blast that toilet because I know I'm gonna come out clean. But then eventually, I have to leave my house. And so the diet, I'm starting to pay for the diet. So they do have a travel bidet for like $25-$30. I think I'm going to end up getting one. Because this is how the whole thing started. Was I was like, I want bubbly water up my ass. And so I was like, I wonder if there's a way to get Perrier or whatever in
a bidet attachment.
In a bidet. Mm-hmm. And the travel bidet has a screw cap for a bottle. And it fits a Perrier bottle, which I steal from work all the time. Like endless amounts of Perrier. I'm going to fucking blast my ass with some bubbly water. I'm going to get...
Tweet and you shall receive, Brian. I can't believe that. Look what comedy's given you.
I know. I live off of all the free shit I get. But the bidet, I cannot recommend enough. I feel corny. This goes against all punk rock roots that I have. Is like, but I'm wholeheartedly throwing myself behind this bidet and saying I really believe in it.
And they have just a small attachment. You guys don't have to get the $650 one.
Yeah, they got
the
$25-$30 one. They also sell other stuff, and you get 20% off promo code NOSIR. That's the last I'll say about that right now, but I really mean it.
You know what's funny is I think he's saving his shits to shit here. I think he's saving.
Why wouldn't he?
I know, that's what I'm saying. I think it's not just you, is what I mean. Like I think it's great because it's got the front and the back. You know, you never leave the bathroom feeling. I almost said shitty, but I didn't want to. It was an unintentional.
Dude, I accidentally put it on the front at full speed, and it blasted my nutsack like a speed bag. It did, dude. I was like, it was like Muhammad Ali was just fucking going off on my nuts. I'm pretty. I'm beautiful. I'm so fast. Last night I turned off the light and got in bed before it was dark. Yeah,
that's hilarious. Well, at least the. You know what? That's probably good because they'll wash your taint too.
Well, yeah, I feel like my taint's generally clean.
I know, but you it's have nice. A long day at work. It's a
nice
little,
to freshen up.
A refresher.
Yeah. The only addition I would suggest to them is a little baby powder blower. Like if it could like
you want it like to powder your
yeah if it could just powder
you want
my
it to
ass.
LeBron James your nuts.
yeah like just put a little cornstarch up there to stop the chafing. That's the only thing I would say. If they could dust me, like, for fingerprints or whatever. Like,
just a little fucking brush comes out and dusts your nuts. Like a makeup brush.
Yeah, just exactly. Just lightly dust so that I can not chafe.
Oh,
then
man.
It would take care of everything. That's the only improvement I could see. It's got the dryer. It's got you can control the temperature. I thought it was going to be a warm water guy. I'm a cold water guy.
I'm in the middle.
Really?
Yeah, I'm in the middle. So it's not hot or cold. It's just warm. Just so it's not startling. Because when it's cold, it's
fresh cold beer for your asshole.
It's almost like getting goosed when you're not ready for the cold water.
I'm telling you, it's happy hour for my asshole. It's like, it's summertime. It's mess down there. Get some cold water. It's like a Corona for my asshole. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Listen, so yeah,
they didn't ask us to do any of this.
I know. This is a straight up just talking about it.
This is just sincere love for my clean asshole.
Brondell.
Brondell.com. BRONDELL.com.
Promo code.
No, sir.
Oh, yeah. And with the other ad we should do is if you guys buy anything on Amazon, go to BrianVokey.com and hit the Amazon link and buy stuff through there, and we get a little kickback on the back end.
Yeah, there's a banner at the top of my website. Go to brianvokey.com, click the Amazon banner, and then shop normally. It doesn't do anything to your prices. It just, hey, I've made 38 cents off of it so far.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, there's been hundreds of dollars to spend. Apparently, certain departments are promoted and you get more percentages based on that shit.
Oh, really?
So whatever people are buying is not paying. So please keep shopping. I don't know what to direct you to. Just buy everything. Buy everything and just click through the Amazon portal, the banner at the top of BrianVokey.com, B-R-Y-A-N, Vokey, V-O-K-E-Y.com. I've always wanted to do radio, so having ads is really fun for me.
Yeah.
My dad always listened to Paul Harvey growing up. Mm-hmm. Remember him? And now you know the rest of the story.
Oh, I don't think I ever
listened
to that
guy. I used to
listen to Phil Henry. I used to listen to Ron and Ron. And I used to listen to Howard Stern. And then, like, local radio.
I never listened. I grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh and Paul Harvey because of my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really absorbed their message, but I did like how professional they were.
Yeah.
And how they could go in and out of ads and into the content and like take callers.
My dad used to put on Rush Limbaugh just because he thought it was funny. Because he was always yelling all the time.
Yeah, my dad just liked him.
Yeah.
Just agreed with him. But I listened to ONA a lot,
mm-hmm.
which is the genesis of the podcast, if you ask me. I think that they were like one of the first like free form vulgar radio shows. Like Howard Stern was still real bitty. He would do a lot of bits.
Oh yeah.
And stuff. And I mean,
it wasn't like stream of consciousness.
Yeah,
funny,
ONA was like real conversational. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they like kind of invented the podcast almost on SiriusXM.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I've always wanted to do radio. I've always wanted to, you know, back in the day you would hear the papers crinkle when they were getting their reads.
Yeah.
You know, and they would get their ads and you hear the paper
the copy just
crinkle and then yeah. You hear that and then they're like and they do the read and it was just I loved it so much. It was so cool.
Then why don't we do an ad like that for this? For why don't we do Brondell ads like that?
And then we get that Rush Limbaugh thing he does right when he comes back. You know what I'm talking about? He has this like note that like I realize we're talking good about Rush Limbaugh, who's like kind of a fucking idiot. But
kind of.
But the dude, you can't lie with the results. He talks into a golden microphone for a reason.
Yeah.
Excellence in broadcasting.
I don't know. I haven't listened to him in so long. It just used to be on my dad had a Ford Ranger that would
He's an idiot. There was a time where like something happened and his voice got really high.
Oh, really?
Something happened to his ears. He had like some really bad thing happen to his ear. And for a while he sounded like this. And it was so fucking funny.
It's funny to hear a guy rambling and ranting with a high-pitched voice.
The Democrats are bankrupting the country. Get him, boss.
Like Rush Limbaugh just turned into a panda.
Goon.
Yeah, yeah, he's just a fucking panda bear. I can't believe he's fucking lefties.
You can't expect us to take care of everybody. Okay, Ethel Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Ethel Merman Limbaugh.
Those were the days.
I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night. Yeah, it's really funny. I should try to find. I'll try to put. I'll try to tweet through No Sir if I can find any audio of Rush Limbaugh when his voice went high.
Yeah, post it in the group so they know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he got hooked on Vicodin too, which I can't blame him. Feels nice. maybe we should get into some things we don't like.
Yeah,
which
do
by
it.
The way, I want to say I don't like Rush Limbaugh, but I love professional broadcasters. I had a moment last weekend where I think I found out for sure that I'm dumb.
You found out you're dumb?
Mm-hmm.
You had like something that made you realize.
Yeah, there's always, you know, you have those moments where you realize something. Like I think I talked about here, the moment I realized I was a loser was when I found out my boss lived with her parents.
Right.
Yeah. I had another little revelation.
Self-realization where you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. I was on the road with Eric Lampere, who's a very, very smart man.
Previous guest of the podcast. Go listen to it.
And what I realized with my smart friends who are like definitively smart, you can just tell, is that they're always just like caught up in their head. And they're just like always like, like remember that Bill Burr bit about how women are always like,
yeah, the machines that
yeah, just unlimited energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how smart brains work too. And so I was supposed to meet up with Eric in a cafe, and we're in Madison, Wisconsin, which is a beautiful town. it's like a peninsula or an isthmus or something. And it's just water everywhere. And people are like happy and nice there. It's just a fucking freak show. It's just beautiful and people are smiling. And I'm just like walking around and I was just looking up going, wow. Huh. And just having a great time. Just lost. Just being, just looking around, looking up. Just lost in the visual of it, a whole thing. Just like being like, wow, this is nice. This is kind of nice. Which, and then I walk in to meet up with Eric, and Eric is just like, mate, this person won't return my email, blah, 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 blah. And he's always him.
Yeah.
Always. Every second of the day, he is the same way.
Super type A, yeah.
And I was like, that's
constantly
how,
working.
Yeah, that's how smart people are. I was like, dumb people, if you've ever found yourself lost in a moment enjoying something, you're an idiot, is what I think. I'm pretty sure.
Are you saying this because just before we recorded, I was like, dude, look at how many hibiscus flowers are on this tree. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
And completely enjoying the flowers.
She was trying to, Carmen was like trying to show off this tree as if it was beautiful. And it is beautiful. But the thing was, the way you tried to sell it to me, you were like, look how many flowers are on this tree. And there wasn't like a crazy amount of flowers.
I think it's also just because I've been seeing it for weeks and it's been nonstop flowers for
like
2 weeks.
Yeah, it's like you were showing me pictures of your kids.
Yeah, I was like,
look how
big
he's gotten. Yeah, I don't give a shit about your kid or your hibiscus flowers. I don't care.
You just care about how Madison, Wisconsin looks. It's the same shit, you dummy.
I know. That's why
I'm so glad we're both stupid.
Yeah, we're both dumb. I had those moments. I don't even know. But the thing is, though, I wasn't lost at anything, but there was no hibiscus tree in Madison. Like, there was no particular thing grabbing me.
Oh, yeah. It's just,
I was just like,
taking it all in.
Wow. I don't know why, but wow. Golly.
That's basically all you were missing was.
Oh, dude, I had one of those laughers in Madison where the woman laughed like. And the host mentioned that there was like a Santa laugh, and she thought it was a dude, but it was a woman. And I was in the middle of a bit, and I heard, ho, 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 ho. And I was like, oh, you must be the Santa laugh I heard about earlier. And I was like, I instantly thought I was about to get a present. Like, should I put some cookies and milk out? Holy shit, you're jolly. It's always tough with that because you don't want to make somebody insecure to laugh.
Yeah, you still want them to laugh.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's just
but
like
you have to address it. I mean, Santa.
I always just be like, I always like, I'm glad I'm not recording an album right now, but I appreciate that laughter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I was like, let it out. I'm sorry. And then every time I tried to say something nice to her, I would immediately go, ho, 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 ho.
It's weird how laughing in general is kind of weird how everybody ends up laughing, you know?
What do you mean?
Do you think it's like learned? Like,
oh, 100%. I listened to like a Radio Lab or something about laughter.
Really?
And it really is upsetting for a comedian to listen to it because you realize that 90% of when you're killing on stage is just other people wanting to fit in.
Yeah.
And it's against their will. It's subconscious. And so really you're only doing well with like one or two alphas. And then everybody else is just getting in line.
What's that? That's the whole thing about like in behavior with like circles of comics and shit like that. You can always tell who everybody looks up to because they're always looking for their
they're holding
laughter.
Court.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, they're always looking for their cue to laugh. Like if something's funny, they'll always look at them first.
Right, before
they start laughing. It's all real silly, dumb animal brain stuff.
Yeah. I strongly suggest every comedian listen to the Radio Lab thing on laughter, and it'll really, if you have an ego about how funny you think you are, it'll take you down a peg. It really will.
With, I mean, that's that basic understanding. It would explain why so many people, when they first start, they have all their friends come out and they kill.
Yeah, because their friends are just.
They're laughing to support their friends instead of, and then they.
Well, also the stories are probably all about stuff that those guys were there for.
Yeah.
You know, so it's basically inside jokes for them. So their friends are going to laugh so hard.
Right.
Make your friends laugh is shit.
Yeah.
That's nothing. Making strangers laugh.
Yeah.
But even then, that's still shit after. So who fucking cares? It's nice if I could. When I can swing that attitude into an end on an uptone, though.
Yeah.
As a, well, who fucking cares? Because inside it's like, who fucking cares? kiss.
You change everything with that inflection, man. That's how you get those bonus laughs.
Yeah, that's how you get offensive jokes through. Mm-hmm. You said it with a smile. Yeah, service with a smile. That's why, yeah, I don't know. But man, I was watching some tapes of me, and I do that Chris Rock thing too much where I go after I say something.
Oh, yeah, the verbal fake laugh.
No, it's real, but it's just like quiet, but it's just after everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, stop laughing at your own jokes, you fucking psycho. It's like, what, am I surprising myself? I wrote all of it.
I know.
Like, what is wrong with me?
Well, sometimes that's another just trick of, it's a verbal cue to let people know that's when they're supposed to laugh.
Yeah, like Dave Chappelle slapping the mic off his thigh.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. I just saw
him again the other night and he did it way too much. I'm like, God damn it. How many microphones do you have to ruin? I know, I get it. You're the greatest of all time. You just told me 9 times,
yeah,
literally, that you're the greatest of all. Do you have to hit the microphone too?
Yeah, and he does it on his specials in theaters. He's slapping the microphone off his thigh.
I've been
listening to a lot of Chappelle lately because I can only now listen to comedians who I know I will never sound like.
Wait, why?
Because I adopted a Louis rhythm on stage and it made me want to fucking beat my face in with the microphone like Gigi Allen.
I remember you did that David Cross thing a long time ago, but you're not doing
that's
a
different.
Bit. That was a bit. That was just a...
I accidentally just fucking said a David Cross bit in a riff on accident, and then but this time I enunciated like Louis.
But do you do it your whole act, or was it just this one?
No. I can't. Nobody would ever notice, or if they did, it was a one-time thing, but I know what I'm doing, and I know when I'm not speaking like myself.
Right.
And I definitely, like, I hung, there's a Louis rhythm where, like, he says things like, it's amazing. And he says, like, the first syllable he does real quick, and then the second one he drags out, like amazing. And I did, you have no idea. I said,
I would never, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did that, and I was like, no more Louis, which sucks, because I just had a little renaissance with him. I've been listening to him a bunch lately, and it's been fun. I feel like a comedy fan when I listen to him, because... And I don't feel like a comedian. I just love listening to it. But now I got to only listen to fucking Patrice and Chappelle and Wanda Sykes and Chris Rock.
Black people is what you mean? I'll never sound like them.
I'm not ever going to walk up on stage and be like, fellas. That's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
I stopped watching a lot of comedy probably about 5 years ago for the same reason. It's just like... There's like stuff from Maria. Jackie, just because I don't ever want to be in a riff and then something like that come out. Just like people I think like-minded with. And the same goes for Stanhope. I mean, I'm not saying I'm like him, but he, a lot of times, like I'll think a thought that I genuinely believe.
Right.
And then somebody will be like, I think Stanhope has a joke like that. When it's just a thought. And I'm like, fuck, man, really?
I saw a great, actually, specifically Stanhope, somebody tweeted at him that a Tom Segura joke on a special was eerily similar to a Stanhope thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the fan was totally trying to get in with Stanhope by calling out Segura.
Yeah.
And Doug Stanhope goes, good, he should be saying this. This is a great idea. More people need to hear this. He's original and well-respected by his peers. You fucking snitch. Go die, Nazi.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
And you just picture the guy, the fan or whatever, who's sending the tweet.
Who was like, jerking off to it. Yeah, he's going to invite me to be on his podcast.
Yeah,
this guy's fantasizing about.
Fuck off. I mean, Doug Stanhope doesn't tell jokes. He talks for an hour straight and he has 19 specials out. He's said everything.
Yeah, he said everything he's ever wanted to say.
Yeah, and he said everything he hasn't wanted. He said everything. I'm sure he's probably recited the entire Bible on stage at this point. Like, he's said everything. So, of course, there's going to be some like-minded shit.
Yeah.
Especially if you're being relatable at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. It was like super fraud, because I don't want to. Then if I think of anything that's similar, then I can just, I'll cut that. But I'll know I didn't do it. Like, I didn't take it. It's not somewhere in the lobe floating around, and then I just pulled it out.
You got to stop enjoying comedy and listening to
That's
it.
That's why
stinks.
I think everybody calls Robin Williams a thief. I think because he was on stage and so fast, I think he would just, I mean, I don't know, but I think he also would just say shit And it was just in the bank and it's come out.
He clearly felt awful about it. He paid people money and apologized to them. Most people who he, quote unquote, took from
were compensated.
Yeah. And they also, they have nothing bad to say about him. Mm-hmm. Most of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that says something. Like if a guy who's 100 times more successful than you has said something you said and you still don't hate him, like that means that he's a good dude or was a good dude and he was doing it on accident. Yeah. He's not like Mencia.
Yeah, exactly.
Where he's doing.
Where he's just like, if I see your joke, I'm just going to do it with a Mexican accent. I don't give a fuck whenever.
Yeah. I'm going to do your joke. I'm going to do it better than you.
That explains why he still does 2 hours on the road.
Yeah. He still does everything. Night. It's not a joke. It's hundreds of jokes. It's all of his jokes.
That's always the difference, too, is if it's one thing that's obvious, that obviously could be parallel thinking or it could be, you know, misremembering or something you're confusing for your own thought, but when it's everything, that's a joke thief,
right?
You know, like,
well, and when you're in the back of the club with the notebook, that's something.
Yeah. Yeah,
also a notebook, dude. Tape recorders have been around since the 70s. I love the idea of a joke thief though taking one of those giant reel-to-reel tape recorders in the 70s in the back of a club with two giant reels spinning, holding a microphone at the comedian.
Or even funnier, one of those ones from the 80s that have the big push-in buttons, that like the Play School one that has the tiny little microphone. Them standing next to the stage with this tiny little kid recorder.
I don't know, man. I think that Carlos, I mean, the joke he's allegedly took from Ari Shaffir is a really hacky premise anyway. It's like about who's going to build the wall, like Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
This is so stupid. Anybody could have come up with that. But at least Mencia delivered it with passion. I feel like Ari's one of those dudes who's too cool for energy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a real thing, a problem with people like having an issue with somebody who delivers their joke.
Who performs their joke.
And like what I'm speaking of specifically right now is my friend and yours, Preacher Lawson,
mm-hmm.
who is hysterical and
also
very...
Also a previous guest of this podcast. So yes. Listen to that one too.
And I just did a weekend with him. You've known him since he started. Mm-hmm. That's who he is. He's a goofy guy on stage. He's very physical. And that's...
Well, he's just a goofy guy, period.
He's being honest to himself.
Right.
He's just a silly bastard. He doesn't swear in real life, mostly. He's clean on stage. He's clean off stage. He's goofy and physical as fuck.
He's busted my balls. Why are you going to say stuff like that?
Yeah. He's like, loud in real life. He's loud on stage. He's 100% being himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so a friend of mine, this is the kind of racism that like really bothers me more than, because you can go into like organized racist KKK, blah, blah, blah. Like those people are dangerous and awful, but they like, at least they're outward and know they're not pretending to be Bernie fans or whatever.
Right.
And that lefty racism, that sneaky racism bothers me so much more when I'm around it.
What do you mean? Give me an example.
Well, there was a guy at your place of work who, Carmen, by the way, second lady door guy at the Comedy Store in history.
Guys.
But nonetheless, one of the door guys there told my friend that, so, okay, basically there was a white physical comedian. What I mean by physical is what Preacher does, like very overacting out all the jokes, really performing. And
like how, like for instance, like Dan Cook, he's very animated.
He's
like
a physical performer. Mm-hmm,
physical performer.
And so there was a white physical comedian, and my friend says to another comic, like, oh, that guy's like a white Preacher Lawson as a joke. And then the white guy who he was talking to said, oh, no, he's not being like Preacher. He's not up there shucking and jiving, so racist. He's basically calling, without saying it, he's calling Preacher a coon, which, first of all, that's black people's territory. That's not your territory. You don't get to be like one of those, like, I'm a hip white guy. Like, this guy wishes he was black so bad. He hangs.
Like, see, there's a difference. There's black people and there's N-words.
And he's like, he's taken a huge leap. And my friend didn't know that that was racist when he heard it. He was just annoyed because he was saying something mean about our friend who's funny.
Right.
But like, I was like, no, that's more than mean. That is actively racist.
Yeah.
That like to call somebody a coon is so racist.
Well, for a white person.
For a white person. Yeah, yeah.
Because black people call black people out on doing that all the time. You know what I mean? And it's like, and it is like when you're like, come on, like you're going against what we're all trying to do.
Right.
Which is like progress.
And all Preacher is doing, I hope to God he doesn't listen to this because I don't want to bum him out. But like all he's doing is being honest to himself up there, and he gets enough shit from black comics for being like that.
Yeah.
And when white comics start acting like that, you're crossing a line from being like, and a lot of those comics who give him shit on the black side are comics who are just terribly insecure with themselves. I've talked to him about it. And so they like seeing it's beautiful to see a black guy be silly. Do you know how fucking far we had to get for somebody to be able to be silly and get paid for it and not, and you know, like,
and not it be in the context of like a racist dance monkey dance type
of
shit.
Yeah, when exactly.
You're just an honest
like
guy.
Like he's calling the shots.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. This is his
thing.
Yeah.
It's his idea.
It's his personality is being righteous to himself. He's not acting as if, you know what I mean? Like
the fact that he's able to headline clubs and be like that is a massive amount of progress.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't change that he's from the hood and seen shit. Like that's who he is. He doesn't have to be Dave Chappelle. He doesn't. And
right.
I think a lot of these younger comics feel like if
But that's also I think that's also some white people shit where they're saying like this is how black comics should be.
Right.
Or this, and if they're doing that, then I shit on them. You know, like just how like they'll think like every white guy's got to be dark and edgy and like,
right.
Or they suck, or because if it's even if like a white that white guy that was being they were already shitting on him, they're already right. Shitting on a white guy being goofy. You know, maybe that guy is fucking goofy, and there are people that fake it. I mean, like Larry the Cable Guy, that's completely fake. There's plenty of people that. And there's
I'm
the difference
a huge
between
Larry the Cable Guy fan, so take it easy.
Okay, that's fine.
I love him,
but I'm that's totally fine. But I'm saying like Dan Whitney is not Larry the Cable Guy.
No.
It's a persona, right. and there's tons of different variations of us doing. I mean, us doing stand up is usually just an amplified version of ourselves. Unless you're doing something else. And then the disingenuous part, a lot of people don't like, which I totally understand.
Yep.
If somebody's just going up there and being like, oh, I'm fucking zany. Because a lot of times, those are also people that are fucking monsters. Those are also the people that are, you know, they're all like, oh, my wife and my baby. And, you know. And then they're the ones that are fucking sexually assaulting those servers and doing all this fucked up
shit. I don't
know
if Bill Engvall has ever done anything like that, but I do know that his entire act is, my wife is a stupid cunt. It's an hour of that. God, she.
I didn't even mean him. I was thinking.
I didn't mean
that.
I don't want to attach
with.
His name to assault. I'm just saying, like the first half of that sentence. My wife is a bitch. Fucking football stadium dying. My wife is too. I hate my life because I married the first person who fucked me. And I can't afford a divorce. I really, really can't stand.
Like, see that kind of shit. Cause that, I don't know. I don't, that person also probably is like, they think that they're progressive.
That's what bothers me is that he thinks he's that it's that liberal racism that makes you want to fucking kill. Mm-hmm. It's just like, he's thinking in his head, man, if fucking all these
if
like,
black people were here, they'd totally agree with me.
Oh, they'd be carrying me out on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
They'd love this. I'm speaking their language. And it's like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Let people be who they are. That's the most progressive thing you can do, is you can just shut the fuck up and let people be who they are. I don't do that all the time, but I also don't grandstand, and I don't say things hoping that other people will think I'm something.
Right.
Like, I don't take this advice. I'm very mean to people, and I rarely let people be themselves. But I also very, very open about it. Very open about it.
Quite literally, I've been upset, and you're like, what are you doing? Why why are you being, what?
Yeah, stop. I don't like the real you. But at no point do I like sound, what is that? Virtue signaling? Is that what they call that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what that shit is. But it's like there is no virtue. You're racist signaling.
Yeah.
You're sending out racist vibes. That's fucked up. It's not right. And I just, oh God. It's so easy to criticize the right for that shit. But man, there's a lot of lefty racism. a lot of ways. It's like I was talking to this weekend a black comic.
That's the same kind of shit with that white knight bullshit too, where these the male feminist bullshit, where it's like, I'm standing up for women and blah blah. I feel like every time they say women in a post is how many women they've fucking sexually assaulted.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, I'm standing up for women because women, me. Yeah, you're saying that for every time you've tried to force a chick's head down on your cock that you didn't ask for.
Exactly. Ugh. Meanwhile, you're like shoving a woman's head towards your cock, and the other hand, you're tweeting like, David Cross is mansplaining. Shut the fuck up. I hate it.
I'm gonna make a white knight blow up doll where every time they choke, fuck it, it just says, I consent.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, tell me you consent.
Yeah. It's the same shit, man.
Yeah, it's funny how that that lefty racism. I was talking to a black comic, but I went to a Comedy Central panel,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, they were talking about how they don't like they don't fuck with the clubs too mm-hmm. much. They don't like the big rooms. They like kind of the smaller rooms. And he was like, they basically stopped short of saying, we just want weird white guys, because he was like, everything they said they don't go to is where the black comics are.
Yeah.
And like they're mostly
at the clubs. They're at the big room.
Yeah, yeah. Like they're at the J Spot or the clubs, mm-hmm. the improv, and so, the Laugh Factory.
Unless they need a diversity book. That's what happens small rooms.
And it's just so funny because that would have never crossed that Comedy Central executive's mind. Which also, that's a smart move if you're just career oriented and you don't want to be great. Like if you're not white, go to all those alt rooms and just talk about not being white, and you'll get scooped up because they do want diversity, but they refuse to go where the talent is.
Yeah, they refuse to go where the diversity is.
They want to go to the hip bar where everybody.
They still want to go a white establishment.
Exactly.
They just want there to be some other colors too.
Can you bring them to me?
Yeah, that is
bring them to the Silver Lake Lounge, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have to be accepted in that room too. So you also have to like learn how to be funny in that room.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. You can't talk about your life experiences.
No, not at all.
Unless you're rejecting them.
Man, I love diversity. Isn't it great?
Oh,
I love
it's so great. Mm-hmm. Somebody had a great. I'm just gonna quote somebody's joke without giving them credit, but I want you to know it was somebody else's tweet. It was Stephen Fury, who you work with.
Oh yeah, he's great. Yeah.
Stephen Fury had a really funny joke. It was, everybody's going to this NBC stand up for diversity, but I'm waiting for CMT's stand up to diversity. That made me laugh so hard.
That's really funny.
Yeah,
they would too.
CMT stand up to diversity. That's so fucking brilliant. Stephen Fury, y'all should check him out. He's very funny.
But that's it. But that's the other thing too, is like all of this shit happens at the bar show level,
right?
And they're pulling from bar show level places. But then, like,
also, if you wonder why Comedy Central half hours are so bad now, it's because they're finding their talent in bars and not at the clubs.
Right. And it's not people
you're
who are
a bar level talent getting on television representing the fucking thing we all do.
Yeah. And it's like you're not, because they're not fine tuned on how to make 200 people laugh.
No.
A lot of times they're filming the first time they've ever done anything like that. I mean, that's why sometimes people's specials are shitty, mm-hmm. is because they record in a place that they are uncomfortable with. And now people are seeing you do something for the first time, which seems fine for the people there, but not when you're representing this is what I am or who I am.
Right, right, right.
You know? And that, and then that also goes into all the shit that I'm always talking about, which is like then the racism and the sexism that happens on the level that I'm talking about, which is where we get paid, where the money actually is.
The professional level.
Yeah, when we're doing comedy professionally, nobody gives a fuck about it because these young kids are getting pulled out of a fucking coffee shop to do comedy on television, and guess who gets fucked? Like guess where none of these issues are addressed, and it's the actual work part.
Right, you're getting a shot too early, and you're not ready for it, and you blow it.
Yeah,
and then you don't work anymore because you're not good yet. You didn't get a chance to grow.
Or I mean, you still could. You could later on. I mean, that's the other thing too, is people
if
are
you
so
stick
forgiving.
It out. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
But then it's like.
But I think it's tougher to stick it out when you've had something handed to you when you're young, and then it doesn't translate into a full sustainable career and you got to go back to grinding again. Like, not everybody's Chris Rock. Not every,
for sure.
Not everybody has
not
that.
Not everybody's fucking Kevin Hart too, because he had a, he popped early and then fell off and had to rebuild his whole shit too.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. And those people are always great.
Yeah. Because then it's like, I started and then restarted from the bottom and now I'm here.
Right. And the other side of this coin is all those people who are complaining about how white people are dead in comedy. It's like at the bar show level. Yes. Like, it is much harder for somebody like me to get booked at a stupid show that doesn't matter. That is tough.
But if you look at the headlining
clubs,
it's
almost all white guys still.
All white guys or black guys.
Yeah, white guys or black guys.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Almost. Mm-hmm. Unless
you have a successful podcast or mm-hmm. you have like if you're a YouTube, that's the only way. And even that's mostly guys too.
But and it's so funny that the level that I hear all the screaming and shouting about is about the lower level stuff. And it's like, just wait, darling.
Yeah.
Wait till you level up. Mm-hmm. You're going to hit a wall real hard.
And that's the shit I always talk to with with Jackie and Maria, just because
Jackie Cation,
Maria Bamford.
Jackie's not a Maria. You can say Maria and people know. Unfortunately. You know what's funny is that Caitlin Gill said this about Jackie Cation. She said that Jackie is relatively unknown, but can follow any comic on earth.
Yeah.
She's like, you put her after literally any comic you think of and she'll do fine. After him. She is as good as it gets as far as being a professional.
Yeah.
And being great at it. And still, not very many people know who she is.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
That's brutal, right?
It's like an unfortunate.
That's why I wanted to say her full name.
It sucks. And that's the thing,
it's
that
kind
like,
of a compliment.
Right. It's a bittersweet compliment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that just proves my point. It's just like there's super talented people that they don't get the work. Like they won't. You know, there's chains of comedy clubs that just won't give her a shot. And she has just as large of a fan base as, like, say, somebody else. And they give him shots all the time. He does,
yeah.
You know, all of them every year.
But then also you got the other guys who, I don't know, understand. It's all management, I guess. I don't know. Because there are plenty of straight white guys who are brilliant, who get nothing.
Yeah.
And then there's still, you're going to the clubs and it's like, really, that guy, the guy who plays a fucking character on some popular terrestrial radio show? What's that? Bob and Tom?
Bob and Tom.
Yeah, they got some redneck.
Tom, Dick, and Harry. Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yeah, I don't even know. I've never heard the show ever. but they got some guy, I guess, who does a redneck character on there and he headlines clubs all over the country. And it's like, really? He gets to headline a character from a radio, but there's guys who are like brilliant.
I know.
I don't understand. I don't think he's selling out. You're still papering the room.
I know. That's what also bothers the shit out of me is a lot of times they're still just fucking papering the room.
Which means giving away tickets for free is what papering the room means. It's like, why are you wasting your time giving away free tickets for these dinosaurs who suck and haven't written a new joke since the 80s? And like, yeah, all they are just these fucking wandering cokeheads.
And then
that's all they are. They're just cokehead drifters.
Well, and that's also part of the problem with like,
I think club owners feel like they're dying when the younger, because they're like, I don't know this person.
Or I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know it.
I don't know. Let's do the gripe of the week.
You are listening to No Sir, I Don't Like It's Gripe of the Week. Gripe of the Gripe of the Gripe of the
Gripe of the Week.
Gripe of the Week.
Marty Shalders, American airports compared to, well, really anywhere else on the planet, doctor's appointments and how they change them at the last minute, and you can't get a duplicate time for fucking months.
Duplicate time? What's that mean?
You can't get the same time.
Like where the if you reschedule,
like if you have a 2 p.m. appointment, and they're like, all right, well, can I do this day at 2 p.m.? And that's like, it's never available. They're right. We have Friday at 6 a.m.
I'll tell you, the airport thing was one of the things Donald Trump ran on that I agreed with, because he was like, our airports are in terrible condition all over the country.
Yeah,
he's 100% right.
If you really think about it, like that's why I try to make sure I'm really distracted for layovers and stuff like that. Because all you have to do is just start observing, and then I'm like, oh, fuck. How are they not?
Shithole.
How are they not more crashes? Like, I'm impressed that how there's not more fucking dead people.
Yeah, I had to kill 24 hours in an Amsterdam airport because I didn't have any money, so I didn't want to leave the airport and spend money. And I had a great time. I ate better out of their trash cans than I've paid for in American airports. It sounds like this guy's in a lot of pain. Like, it sounds like he's rescheduling doctor's appointments. He's going to head and neck places. He's eating edibles. This guy's hurting. And the airport's probably, yeah, the shitty seats. Like, this guy's whole life is pain. Something tells me he got in a car accident.
Yeah, get this man some opioids.
yeah, for real. There's a crisis going on that might help you. There's an opioid crisis.
Noel said, I don't know why guys get into pointless fist fights while they're drunk. One guy says, look, he looks stupid. And then all five guys in the group turn and puff up their chests and respond to, would you say? Then boom, two guys are in jail and two are on the concrete after having their face beat in. What's the point? Literally no one gained anything. Pointless.
YouTube views.
World star. It's not that. It's also adrenaline. It's adrenaline and...
All right, you want a serious answer to this? We don't live in nature anymore. These guys are cooped up in offices. It used to be that you would beat the shit out of each other to get supremacy in your little tribal thing.
Just like animals.
And I know I've actually gone on a rant where I disagreed with what I'm saying right now podcast.
Well, it's the whole... Well, it's also... That being a personality, the difference between somebody listening to Joe Rogan's podcast too much and they're like, I'm just a fucking animal. I'm an animal. It's like, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, calm down. Yeah. calm down. Eat some elk and relax. Drink some caveman coffee and chill. but no, for real, though, I do think there is a certain amount of animalistic energy that we don't get to get rid of, which is why I think MMA is so fucking popular right now. It is pointless, though. You're not wrong. It's completely pointless, but...
It's pointless, but I bet you... And it's the same reason how guys handle conflict. They beat the shit out of each other, and then they're best friends. Two chicks fight, there's very slim chance that those bitches are going to be friends
Yeah,
again.
Most of my best friends started in a contentious way.
Mm-hmm. And then they fought it out, and then they're like, oh, sorry, dude. Fuck it. I get it, man.
I'm so glad I'm a guy, though. I really am.
It's way easier for you. I'm not going to lie. Let's see. Lindsay said, I don't feel a sense of community anywhere, but I have spent over 20 years.
You're getting older.
Yeah, it happens. I have spent over 20 years trying to support other people and be a friend to them. I've done everything in my power to build a real community. I don't know what the solution is. I mean, that's all you really can do. A lot of times people around you just are bad at it. I mean,
if you set up a dynamic where... Sorry, I just jumped right over you.
It's okay. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, if you establish a dynamic where you're the one who's always helping, then that's all people are going to see you as.
I mean, I do that all the time.
Right.
I provide a lot. And then, but I also have checked people if it's not reciprocated at all in any way, shape, or form.
For sure.
I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Like, I've done a ton. I don't ask anything for it. I don't need to. Don't make me fucking acknowledge it.
I mean, it's like you could do that or you could be the boss all the time and everybody hates you, but you'll be in charge and you'll maybe be more financially successful. But in the end, you end up alone no matter which route you choose.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Communities, because especially in Los Angeles, it's hard to have a community out here. I think that's why everybody's always talking about a team. I got to build my team. I got to have my team. You know what I mean?
I think all people just say that because they just listen to Kevin Hart. They're idiots.
But no, like their people are... I mean, I have a team. There's people that I will entrust in things creatively.
Did Martin Luther King say that?
I have a team. Where it's just people you trust, and it's just not as big as a community a lot of times. I think a lot of that comes with just getting older. Like, it's harder to have friends who are adults because a lot of them get married and have kids, and that stuff takes a lot of time. They don't have time for friends.
I was just talking off mic about this. I'm miserable because I don't like being alone most of the time, and I'm alone most of the time. But then when I am with people, they're not doing things exactly how I like it, so I hate being around people. And it's just miserable.
No, be my friend like this!
Yeah, exactly. Like, why are you guys listening to this, or why are we here? I don't like compromise, and I hate being alone. So what are you going to do? Just walk off a pier.
Another gripe is Mr. Brian Hamilton. His gripe of the week is losing weight. His underwear is now bunching. There's a sale at JCPenney's posting for a friend. Rock on. That doesn't make
I'll
any
tell
sense.
You what, man. You know what I've been doing for years is I buy my underwear two sizes too small. So right now I'm wearing very small underwear. But after a few months, it stretches out to being where you want it to
be. So it's just like a good pair of boots.
Yes.
That's what you do.
You got to break them in. So you have a couple.
Is that why your kind always like keeps underwear for way too long? Like, I've heard that joke so many times. Is like,
where it looks like it's been wives, shot with a shotgun.
Yeah, like, yeah. Wives or girlfriends are like, he just won't get rid of these. He just won't get rid of these fucking underwear. Like, they're basically elastic. No,
the only
elastic.
Reason guys don't get rid of underwear, as far as I mean, I can only speak for myself, is that buying underwear is the least desirable errand I could ever run. Like, there's.
You'd
like,
rather just stay freeballing it?
I'd rather my underwear go to fucking turn into just a waistband with, like, a little string going
an accidental thong.
Yeah, an accidental thong before I'm like, I should go to Walmart and get some underwear. Like, that's just not how we think. Like, if I was saying, oh, I should go to Walmart and get a 30 rack of Bud Light, maybe I'll throw some underwear on top. You don't see the benefit of it, you know, even though it is a big deal.
Yeah.
Getting fresh underwear. But I bought underwear. You know, it's funny. I bought brand new underwear in Walmart in Madison because I decided I didn't want to pack. And so,
you didn't pack?
So I bought jeans, some t-shirts, and some underwear and socks at a Walmart because I wanted to go to sleep early.
Because you're lazy? Oh, my God.
I spent $48 at a Walmart so that I could sleep for an extra half hour.
That's ridiculous. That's some rich people shit.
That's
Wesley.
Why I stay poor.
Wesley, his gripe of the week is PAs with bad attitudes who are 40 minutes late and still sit down to eat courtesy breakfast.
Boring LA shit. I don't give a fuck. You moved here to work in the entertainment industry. It sucks. That's what happens. I don't give a shit. I don't care. I'd rather hear about somebody else's job. I'm sorry, dude. I hate LA complaints. I have no room for it. I mean, that audition story was funny that I told earlier, and it's funny to me, but also you asked for it. You fucking yeah. asked for it.
It's self-exploitation. Joe Chapowski, his gripe of the week is the bourgeoisie extracting all the surplus value of my labor.
Yeah.
Sure.
You're right.
Okay. Brett Erickson, friend of the pod. I mean,
I'm not going to go down a road of dismantling capitalism on this podcast. It won't be funny and it won't be fun. Again, that's like
he's a punk too. He's been in a bunch of punk bands and shit.
I'm with you. I'm with you, but so what? How old are you?
Friend of the podcast, Brett Erickson, said bossy posts like this. So he's mad that
he's such a little cheeky bastard.
He is. He's so cheeky, little monkey. He's so jealous of our bidet sponsor, too.
Oh, he better,
He's got that big bidet bit.
Oh, I didn't know he had a bidet bit.
Yeah, he's got
I've never seen Brett do comedy.
Really? He talked about the bidet on the podcast when he did our episode. If anybody wants
was
to go
I
back
there?
And listen. Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I can't believe
that?
I fell for that. Yeah, I know. Because the hibiscus are beautiful. Look at them.
Dummy.
Because I'm an idiot. Tess gripe of the week. A gripe of the week for Tess is my username for one of my work-related logins was off by a letter when my boss created it.
Oh, now this is a gripe I can get into.
So I haven't been able to do my timesheet so I can get paid.
Ugh.
Oh, that sucks, dude.
They're fucking with your money because they're idiots and they don't care about you.
Yeah, and of course, and it takes forever for HR to fix that shit, too.
The punk dude earlier can take a lesson from this. This is a distillation of what he was saying to a comprehensible level.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
this is a listenable gripe as opposed
to... This is the same gripe as the other guy, but mm-hmm. does it sound like a fucking Karl Marx book. You know, it doesn't sound like we're trying to fucking unpack Das Kapital. But like I'm with you. They don't give a shit about you. What's your school? What's your username? J Smith. All right. And they put J Smythe.
Yep.
And then it takes forever for the bureaucracy to fix it. Then you're 3 weeks behind on a paycheck.
And you're the one that needs the fucking
rent.
Money. Yeah.
Ugh. Fuck that. I hate that so much.
Yeah, that's fucking brutal. That might be the gripe of the week because that's horrible. Because I remember when I worked when I worked for, used to sell timeshare over the phone, if it was anything like that, it always took them for, but unless it was like they accidentally overpaid you, then they were on that shit.
Right.
They were, it was the most efficient running fucking machine I'd ever seen, unless it was they owed you money.
Dude, the best teacher, I had a few good teachers, but one of them was this dude, Mr. Carlton, and they input his social security number wrong or something. So his direct deposit didn't work. I remember this is freshman year. He was my geography teacher, and he's a poor guy fresh out of college, and they were 2 months late on his paying him because of a clerical error that they made, not him. And he didn't have rent. He was telling us this. He's like, I'm stretching cans of soup out for three meals, like one can of soup, because he had no fucking money because they made a clerical error. And you don't ask for that. Like, this is a noble profession. This is a teacher. This isn't a fucking PA on fucking Dog the Bounty Hunter or whatever.
Right.
Some shit we don't need. We need teachers.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Jeff Jones, Gripe of the Week. Who won Gripe of the Week last week? People on dating apps that use a profile pic that has multiple people in it. I have no idea which person I'm swiping on. I'm going to assume if they're...
Yep.
Is an attractive person and an ugly person in the pic, the profile belongs to the ugly person.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you surround yourself.
100%.
Yeah. What you should do is take a picture with a bunch of ugly people so you look even better.
Right.
I mean, that's how chicks make friends, like chicks in their 20s. That's why they all look almost exactly the same. Yeah. It's either they have ugly people around them so they look better, or they all look exactly the same. You ever see a gaggle of them?
Oh, for sure.
And they're all
every sorority party at a comedy club.
It looks like it looks like the fucking scene from Mean Girls where they're all wearing a variation of the same fucking outfit.
Yep.
It's like Clueless wasn't real. Stop trying to make it real.
It's very real. That's a documentary.
I know. I fucking hate it. It's so it upsets me.
I'm with him on that, but also, I mean, listen, if you need to be on a dating app, I mean, maybe fix your personality, meet people in real life.
What are you talking? This guy's got great personality.
Does he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then.
I would agree with you. I would have walked right into that and been like, yeah, fucking idiot. But this guy is, he's juicy. He's juicy with personality.
Gross.
I mean, rich with it. Like, you know, yeah, rich
just,
with.
Juicy's
is
gross.
A bad word?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times food adjectives as describing a personality is gross to me. He's delicious.
It's rich.
He's tasty. It happens a lot with music.
I meant rich, but I just said juicy because it's like
just like
dense. Any of those words.
You sounded like a harasser.
She was dripping with personality.
Yeah. She's oozing with intelligence.
Ew.
Oozing isn't really a food analogy, I don't think.
I mean, yeah, the egg oozes out of the inside of it, like a fried egg. When you break the yolk, it just oozes out of it. You could ooze it. Tyler Berg's Gripe of the Week is, I think pearl onions are stupid and they need to go away. All right, you're going to have to give me more than that, but I think I like pearl onions. You put them in a stew?
What's wrong with pearl onions? I don't get it. Is it because... I like that because I'm so sick of having 3/4 of an onion in my fridge because I'm
you too? Dude, I throw away so many fucking, so many unused onions.
Yeah, I have like you know when you see the diagram now of the like earth genetically, with all the layers?
Yeah.
Like they show the like outer crust, inner crust. That's like that, they take that triangle out of the onion, I mean out of the earth.
Yeah.
I have those diagrams in my fucking fridge because I only cook for me because I'm alone all of the time. So pearl onions may be keeping me from suicide. Because every time I see a 3/4 of an onion in there, it just reminds me of how alone I am.
How you're only cooking for one.
Yeah, fingerling potatoes, saving my life. Saving my life.
Dude, I love a fingerling, man. Those are great. Gripe of the Week.
That Gripe of the Week gave me a bit. Yeah. So.
That's in the running for you.
You gave me I love pearl onions bit.
Pearl onions, fingerling potatoes. Yeah. That's why I cut everything up into bite-sized pieces.
Fucking cuties.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Cuties. Never a leftover there.
It's nature's single serving.
Oh, fuck. That's funny.
See, there nature cares about single people too. Mm-hmm. Gripe of the week from Jeremy Reidenberg is when an Uber passenger doesn't answer their phone when I tried to call them, so I cancel on them, then get another ride at the same spot, and now the first passenger wants to try and pick a fight with me.
How often is that happening? What are you doing wrong? I never have this experience with Uber. Like, I never need to call them. They're always right where I say, where there's a fucking blue dot that you walk to, or a black dot, and then you stand there. And then they come and they have their license plate.
I think
he's
saying it as the driver. Like when you call, he's saying it as when you call them and they won't answer, like they're supposed to.
Driving. Yeah. That's way different.
Yeah. Somebody's just in the house, they're still fucking getting ready, but they called the Uber already.
And they don't answer.
I see that all the time.
That sounds awful.
I see that all the time where somebody's like, oh, I called the Uber. And then it's like when the Uber gets there is when they start getting everybody together to leave. So the motherfucker outside is just sitting there waiting. You know,
right? Not getting paid.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think they get paid a little bit now for waiting.
I had a fucking Uber driver run a red arrow into oncoming 18-wheelers last night, and
what?
I was screaming, "You have a red light! You have a red light! You have a red light!" She almost got us killed. I gave her one star. I don't like fucking with people's money, but like, she's dangerous.
Holy shit! Yeah. Like worse than me.
Yeah, right about the same. Right about the same.
I don't do that.
I Yelped your driving because I couldn't Uber rate it. So I went logged on to Yelp and I gave Carmen Morales a one star with a long rant. That's mostly just how I'm racist. Isn't that every Yelp rant?
Pretty much.
Every one star Yelp rating is a fucking Klan rally. It always is. There's just people there who are so loud. They're so loud and they wear their
brown
pants so low. And what is that thing they wear on their head? Food took a long time.
Ample parking. Jeremy said that was his gripe. And then Matthew Maloney wrote to him and said, I'm at the DMV. And then Jeremy wrote, you win.
I like the DMV. You know what it is? It's because I don't like doing anything ever.
And that's all you do at the DMV is nothing.
At the DMV, you are both simultaneously getting something done while doing nothing.
Yeah.
And that's
an excuse. You have an excuse to not do anything for the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Because you could be like, oh, sorry, I was at the DMV. Because you just were.
You ever want to cancel and somebody say, hey, I got to go to the DMV, or I was at the DMV earlier and I just can't.
That's way better than saying you have an audition.
Yeah, that you're clearly not going to get. Nobody wants you.
Everybody wants some. Okay. Last gripe of the week is friend of the podcast, Roe Ivoki. Big fan.
Woo, sister.
Big fan.
What's happening, sister?
She says her gripe of the week is with herself.
Of course.
My dad is coming this week, and now I am trying to clean my house the way it should have been cleaned since I moved here.
Oh, this gripe is guaranteed to win with me because I know this dad very well.
Now I'm trying to clean my house the way it should have been cleaned since I moved in here in January, because if he saw it right now, he would be so disappointed. But it's hard for me to get the motivation to clean because I so easily get distracted by other things. Have you guys seen Staircase on Netflix, by the way? That's the only way I clean, though. Like, Roey, this has to happen in order for you to clean, because otherwise you won't clean. It's the same. Like, the only reason my apartment doesn't look like it's
you
in
have a
shambles
boyfriend?
Is when my boyfriend's coming over, when we have to record a podcast, it's always because somebody else is going to see my
None
place.
None of us care about ourselves.
No, we
all
don't care
about
ourselves.
I've been actually trying to write. I've been doing this on stage where I'm saying that, like, I signed up for Tinder just to make dates so that I would do laundry. Like, that's the only reason. It's like, sorry, I don't care how this date goes. My clothes are clean. So that's the only reason we're here.
You got me out of bed today,
Dave. Yeah, you got
You're
me out
of bed. You're the
best. Yeah, thank you so much. I don't care if we ever talk again. On to the next date.
Here, I'll actually pay for that burrito just because. Yeah,
thanks for the lunch.
I got to get back to my bidet.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy how we never, ever take care of ourselves. We need people. We need other people's motivation.
That's why all shame isn't bad.
That's why I think the surveillance state might be a good thing, because if I'm always on camera, I would be so much better of a person.
Mm-hmm.
I would be like not nearly as nasty.
Yeah.
If I knew people were watching all the time.
Yeah, you are you are your grossest self when you are alone.
Yeah, you need to live like people are watching you. Mm-hmm. Is that a saying?
Yeah.
I want that airbrushed on a the neon yellow tank top. I don't believe in nepotism, so I can't give it to Roe, even though I 100% understand our father is so clean. It's ridiculous.
But I still think she doesn't get it because it's good for you. My dad means you get screamingly
heterosexual, but he is clean like a gay guy.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He's like Seinfeld clean. It's like weird. Like when somebody sneezes near him.
OCD?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't give a shit. He'll be like on a plane. If somebody sneezes, he'll go, brr! Like right at the guy. Like basically like, fuck you for sneezing, you fucking animal. But I still think the clerical error.
Yeah, I think.
Because that's fucking with money. We've all had that experience. It's so, here's for Mr. Marx. It's so like out of a Kafka novel where it's just like the machine makes an error that is completely out of your hands and the only person it affects is you and there's nothing you can do about it. You're on their time.
And they don't care about fixing it.
No, nobody gives a shit about you getting your money. Just show up to work and shut up.
Yeah, that's it.
I hate that feeling.
So Gripe of the Week is actually a combo between Joe Chybowski and Tess Devine.
You guys, they wrote that together?
Well, no. Those are the two comments, and they end up being intertwined.
Oh, I don't remember.
The bourgeoisie is Joe, and then
oh no, I don't want to give it to him. No, fuck that. I don't know. No, not him.
But
at
it's
all.
It's all blended together.
Yeah, but beautifully. When you word things like that, it makes me think you're not actually suffering from it, and you're just looking at other people's problems. Because when you're getting ideological about it, then you're thinking in from a philosophical point of view.
That means you have enough free time to think about it.
Like she stumbled across that from a real life experience. That is something that you can actually hold on to, mm-hmm. as opposed to an ideology. So fuck the other guy. He reminds me of too many people I don't like. He reminds me of me, is what I'm saying.
All right. Tess Devine, you get Gripe of the Week, baby. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you guys subscribe and write nice things about us if you could at NoSirPod. Email us NoSirPod@gmail.com. Follow me at The Funny Carmen. Follow Brian at Brian J. Vokey. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you guys. Thanks.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? Like a stupid one.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't.